When I lived in Wiltshire, I had a neighbour who, when I visited her, always made sure I left by the same door that I entered her house. Now why? She said it was to avoid bad luck, and she was absolutely serious about it. So even in our age of reason, enlightenment and science, we can still be unreasonably superstitious. 2,000 years ago, the crowds Jesus spoke to were very superstitious. They lived in a totally unpredictable and an unexplained world. They had little idea of the causes or treatment of illness, the failure of crops, the death of their livestock. They had few rights unless they were rich and powerful, so they easily believed in bad luck, curses and demons. And they relied on prophecies, portents and spells to control and predict their world. Our New Testament reading today seems on the surface to pander to this world. Jesus was predicting a terrible future for the people of Jerusalem. He described the portents that would precede this disaster and possibly the end of the world. And of course, the early church believed that Jesus' return to them was imminent. Indeed, in AD 70, his predictions for Jerusalem came true, and the Roman authorities, fed up with the continual terrorist activities of the many Jewish resistant groups, subdued the Jewish population by razing Jerusalem to the ground and slaughtering most of its population. It's hard to tell whether Matthew was repeating exactly what Jesus had preached about, or if in fact the events of AD 70 coloured the writing of his gospel. However, it is easy to believe that Jesus spoke about such things, for not only did he live in a world of terrorist plotting and activity, but some tried to draw him into their plans, wanting to use his influence and charisma to their advantage. This passage is not easy and has had many interpretations down the years, as you can imagine. But it is quite clear that one thing Jesus was trying to do was to warn the resistant movements that if they continued to fight against Rome, the reprisals from that mighty power would be horrific. It is interesting that at no point does he urge people to fight or resist the coming horror. Instead, he tells them to flee, to turn their back on Jerusalem, save their skins, and start afresh. AD 70 must have been a bleak, bleak time for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, including the Christian community, who had clung to their old ways. They still kept the Jewish law and followed the temple practices. They were ostracized by the Jews in Jerusalem and at odds with the Christian communities who lived on the outskirts of Israel and further afield in the surrounding countries that Paul had converted. The ones Paul converted were mostly Gentiles who had developed their own ways of being Christian. They never kept any Jewish law or visited a synagogue. The fall of the city meant for the Jerusalem Christians that their past was gone, and they now had to look to a different future, not always easy. Our Old Testament passage is also about Jerusalem. In Isaiah's passage, the city is in ruins because it was razed to the ground in the 5th century by the Babylonians, and that inhabitants, not slaughtered, but transported to Babylon, where they were exiled for about 70 years. But Isaiah's passage is full of hope because the exiled Jews in Babylon were looking forward to repatriation. King Cyrus had given them permission to return and rebuild the city walls and temple. Isaiah was so sure of this that he even cautioned the returning Jews to be careful when taking the temple goods back to their rightful place in the city. So this passage is full of hope, not horror, sure of God's comfort, support and protection as they plan to return and start afresh. And this is what is happening here in St. Erth. This is our last evensong in this lovely old church, where this service has been sung for hundreds of years. Like the people of Jerusalem, we are facing changes and loss. Indeed, all our five churches are having to adapt to a changing world, and we do not know what the future brings. However, we should take Jesus' advice to those in Jerusalem to move on, to accept the situation and make the best of what we have got left. We must not look back and wish for what we cannot change. Those who ran away from Jerusalem, leaving everything behind them, as Jesus advised, live to worship again, in a different place and in a different way. The fact that we continue to worship is the important thing. And sometimes, out of great trouble, good can be found. Those Christians who left Jerusalem were those who knew Jesus personally. The Gospels were not compiled until after AD 70. There were records of things that he'd said, but not the Gospels as we know them. And it is thought that it was the catastrophic loss of the Christians' first base, Jesus' homeland, that prompted the Jerusalem Christians to commit their precious memories to paper for the Christian communities of the future. So, as they escaped to start afresh, they took with them all those personal memories which could have so easily been lost. Change is a chance to move on, believing, as the Babylonian Jews did, that the Lord will rescue us and comfort his people. The Lord will use his holy power to save his people. The Lord will lead us and protect us on every side. I think in 50 years' time, Christian worship here in this area will be very different. But as long as we keep looking forward and facing adversity positively, knowing that God is leading us, then I believe it will still be here and thriving. Amen. Yeah.